attempt to create a side of vulnerability and putting your art, whatever your art may be, out there in the world.
Yes.
And learning to become okay with it not being for everybody. Now, if somebody was to take that same camera, right, and follow you around for a week, what would they see, Mr. Jones?
Obsessed. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with self-development. I think that they would say that I need to get me a social life. Just saying for myself, but I am a workaholic on projects that I like.
Welcome back to Talks at the Water Cooler with Richard and Eric.
Yeah, we were talking about the importance of meeting people where they are.
Absolutely, absolutely. I guess the backstory from this is just kind of, you know, with us being recruiters and interviewing people from all walks of life, various positions, hierarchies, etc. I would say a key to even recruitment or a key to life is meeting people where they are.
Yes.
To kind of give you understanding, because I want your insight on this, of course. Understanding that if you're bringing me to meet someone at a leisure event, I'm not my professional self and, you know, using 3 to 4 syllable words.
Right.
At this engagement meeting or at this time. And what I'm just trying to gauge is that, you know, you have to, as a person or even as a professional, have that ability to meet people where they are.
Yes.
And I guess my question to you is, you know, how do you read that? How do you gauge that? I know essentially you have to know your audience and know where you are. But how do you gauge when to meet someone where they are?
I think I always start with some advice from a grandparent or, you know, an elder and most times with things like this, because the older adage of, you know, you're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk, right? Because you got 2 ears for a reason, 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. And I think, you know, when we slow down, because, you know, me, myself, I can run a mile a minute when I get into it, right? But within that, listening to people, need to understand context, right? Understanding who you're speaking with, right? Being present. I think it starts with being present and realizing who you're speaking with. Mm-hmm. And then through that, you're able to get a grasp on how you got to show up sometimes, right? Like, we show up in different times speaking with different people, right? The professional, mm-hmm, on different levels, right? Speaking to a coworker versus speaking to somebody in upper management, you're still going to be respectful, right? But also you're going to be professional, but also that professionalism may end up at a different point on that meter, right? Professional communication. And I know sometimes it can be difficult depending on the scenario to be able to show up professional, right? While dealing with someone who just may not have some of those tools or resources, right? Everybody's background and experiences are different. So people come to a table, for lack of better terms, with their stuff, right? They all bring something to the table. Just they may not bring what I bring or what someone else that only uses 3 to 4 syllable words may, right? But understanding that people communicate differently, mm-hmm, and that there's nothing wrong with how people communicate, as long as they're being respectful and can get their point across. Mm-hmm. But there's no one way to communicate a thought. I think you got to remember that too.
Okay. And thank you for that. I guess to go even, I want to say, what's a word that is almost a pet peeve word to you that is used in an interview over and over and over again?
In terms of by interviewer or interviewee or?
By the interviewee.
Okay. So many times when you're interviewing someone, sometimes you have some folks that haven't been working for a while or getting, mm-hmm, back into the market, and they'd be maybe a little bit nervous. I understand how that is. I was when I applied for certain jobs, you know, I'm be nervous because it's something new and it's uncomfortable. But within that, I try to tell folks to kind of settle their nerves, because you hear things like the ums. It's like your brain is processing, which is okay, right? Because I never come across or want to come across in my interviews, any of my professional settings or real life for that capacity, as being too good for something, right? Like, I'm not here to trip anybody up. I want people to be respectful. I'm not going to respect you and respect me. We're going to keep it on the job. And, you know, sometimes they'll have an issue attempting to describe a particular example, right? Tell me when you did this for a job or whatever, right? And, you know, sometimes they're dealing with some of that trauma from the jobs, where it's like, well, you know, I hated the job and I walked in there and it got, you know, got new management. And I'm like, I understand that. But then I try to call it back to like, okay. So I'm saying that, you know, you came in, you kind of helped perform some extended work duties, right? That you kind of stepped up. And so it shows you have leadership abilities, right? It kind of helped them frame their thought in a way that makes it okay for an interview. Because I understand sometimes everybody doesn't have just the wherewithal. They don't do this every day. It's a skill set, like anything. It's working a muscle. Like one good thing about being a recruiter, I think we get to flex those communication muscles, right? We get to practice, you know, by speaking with people and conducting interviews and follow-ups and things that add to it. So.
Gotcha. And I totally agree. I just, you know, those right there, what I just said, you know, that right there, that right there, you know, just, I would like to say as a recruiter, you know, I don't want to be super critical on people as well, but the overdoing of, you know, those words, the the ahs, the you knows, you know what I'm saying, or just words of those natures, we can use those words, but let's not, I would say, you know, keep those to a minimum. Yeah. Where the minimum is met, I couldn't tell you. I'm just saying to be mindful of the usage of those words excessively.
Yeah, I think a tool that maybe would help is the idea of being okay with pauses, right? Because in life, many times we're doing an interview, we're so focused on filling up the space with sound, right? Of course, like, hey, you don't want any dead air. Right? I don't even radio, I believe they use that term. When I'm doing my interview, I let them know, like, hey, if I'm quiet on my end, I'm just taking some notes, right? Because I understand how that silence can come off. But no, when I was on the side of that table and I, you know, I answered the question or whatever, I'm waiting for them to follow up. I'm like, what's in my brain? Like, what is the next thing? What is the next thing? But within that, learning to allow yourself to take a breath and think about what you want to say. So your brain can process and you don't have to, you have to download as you're talking in that way, right? Like, you don't have to, So yeah, when I worked at this place, I did this. And then when I was, you know, you have to do that. You can just take a breath of that, you know. When I worked at this establishment, these are my tasks. Mm-hmm. And this is how I connected to X, Y, and Z, right? Many times connecting what we've done in our past to this particular role, right? And how those skills will make us a standout, right?
With you as an interviewer, how do you give grace or give that pause? So what I'm trying to ask is, in order to give that one, someone that type of grace, you would essentially have to, you know, give that pause or give that time. How are you with your questions with giving them some time to get to gather those thoughts? Like, are they rapid fire?
What I'm doing my interview is I attempt to slow down because my normal speaking cadence can be a bit rapid. So I tend to slow down and I'll, again, if I ask a question and then somebody they're struggling with the question, if possible, I'll let them know we can come back to it. But also I try to reassure them, you know, many times it's there are folks returning back to work from helping a family member, right? Or sometimes someone's a homemaker and getting back to the workforce, or this is a totally new industry for them. So a lot of those conversations are, in many ways, kind of counsel folks that it's okay. Like, it's okay where you are. I'm not looking for perfection. In that way, I'm looking to see how your skills and talents attach to this role, right?
Yeah.
Am I here to trip them up? So I try to provide a space of, like, calmness in that way. Yeah. I understand how uncomfortable, better term, they can be to... Yes. Again, you try to present yourself and do your best, but you're nervous.
Yeah.
So sometimes those nerves can get in the way of how good of a candidate you are. Right. So
absolutely.
You may do a thing with doing obsessive X, Y, Z, right?
Yeah. Giving them that disclaimer is key. Like, that's what you're saying. Them that disclaimer. Hey, I understand this can be a bit nerve wracking for you.
Yeah.
But I'm not here to cross you up or trying, you know, for anything. We need the project filled. We need this this role filled.
Yes.
And so we're looking for the best candidate and I want you to give your best. So essentially, if you need time to pause, if you need to take a sip of your water, whatever it could be. Even if you need to go to and talk with Rich and Aaron and have a talk at the water cooler, it's
okay.
Please do.
We're here.
Please come. You know, we're here for you. And essentially just giving them the assurance that I am not trying to trick or trap them up. Right. I'm really just looking for them to put their best foot forward. And if we need to take a pause, that's fine as well.
Yeah. I think there is, you know, to kind of summarize everything, it's okay to slow down.
It's okay to slow down.
You know?
But don't stop. All right. I was going to ask you from a perspective of people that are really hard on themselves, right? Like we're in this new age of world. So everyone's, you know, expecting high expectations of themselves.
Yeah.
And to some people, the minute they're not being, when they take a leisure moment, they see it as not being productive.
Yeah.
How do someone in this world that's ever changing and, you know, yesterday is considered an old day and there's new technology, steady form, and someone feels as though they're not, you know, being super productive and they're being hard on themselves because of their imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
What type of insight or what type of game, for lack of a better term, do you have for them?
Read my journal, brother. That's because I'm asking myself, right? Because within that, we all are, I myself am overly critical.
Same.
But the point within that is I'm learning to not ruminate on things that don't matter, right? I think the best way I explain it is, one, it's the first time doing this life thing, right? So nobody has a blueprint for everybody's life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it takes a lot of introspection when you can doing things that, for me, one of those pillars is fitness, right? Not only physical fitness, but also mental fitness. Some of that is doing some journaling, you know, doing some spiritual practice, right? Allowing me to get closer to what I consider the source in that way, to allow myself to remember that nobody's perfect. Everybody's attempting to figure this out. I think the bigger marker of success and or anything positive, right, is one, keep showing up for yourself, right? Figure out what is the thing you want to do and continue to keep showing up for yourself. Not every day is not going to be perfect. Every day is not going to be a home run.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we all have seen the thing of, you know, lay a brick a day or 1% better every day. And that's what it's about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
When we are overly, we can hold ourselves to a standard of discipline, but we don't need to be overly critical. I already think there are people in the world who none of us know.
Yeah,
for some reason, do not like us, and that's okay. So within that, you know, be okay with that. Let them do that work. We're going to focus on the things we're supposed to be focused on, which is improving our lives and, you know, again, creating a positive impact in whatever space we operate in the world and showing up 100% as we can.
From your vision, last question on my end, from your vision, what do you see as a key element of self-development?
Being really honest and authentic with yourself, within yourself, asking yourself the questions that you stray away from, you know, those questions that come to you when you're by yourself and you want to move past them. I think it's okay to sit with yourself and really start understanding and developing who you are at this age, who you are as this person, right? You know, many people out there, whether they're married with children, you know, a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad, all these things, you're all these things and you're also yourself. You're a person attempting to try your best in this world, you know, with constantly ever moving parts, right? And being able to sit within yourself and understand what are the things that make you come alive, right? And trying to understand those things. It doesn't mean you don't spend 28 days at a retreat. You can just, again, get some walking in the morning if you can, you know, get some time within yourself, some type of physical activity, whatever you can do. Right.
Okay.
Whether it's writing, whether it's journaling, whether it's listening to some music, whatever allows you to get into a space of gratitude. Right. I start my mornings, my list of things I'm just grateful for. Right. I'll wake up, do my prayer. Again, for me, that's I'm thanking God that I'm alive. Right. That's first.
Mm-hmm.
without that, I am not can't do anything. Right. And then I'll go into some other practices. Allows me kind of to zoom in or tighten in on what I want my day to look like. And then from there, it allows me to kind of expand upon that list. But we all are in this together in that way, right? We all are trying to figure it out. We all are taking it one day at a time. I think we got to focus on, you know, the next day versus the mountain itself, right? We can't worry about how we're going to climb the mountain, but we're about taking these steps. And I think
absolutely.
You focus on constantly taking those steps, you eventually get to the mountaintop, right? Or get to whatever that summit of your choice is, whether it's a job, whether it's a promotion, whether it's a new industry, whether it's some interpersonal things, right? You'll get there. Give yourself the grace, but also hold yourself to that standard that it's okay not to be perfect, but also it's the idea of progress over perfection, right? I think you got to remember that So I might tell myself daily, because again, you know, we're all our own worst critics in that way, but it doesn't serve you to be critical of yourself while you're doing some good work, right?
Yeah.
So I want to ask you a question now, right? So as we go into this next season, right? Some people call it like the lock-in season, you know, that's September to December, right? So you can get some, make some real strides. What is maybe, what is something you're focusing on in this lock-in season?
Sure thing. I'm focusing most on consistency. Consistency in the things that I'm already doing.
Okay.
One of them is locking in on the podcast, giving that information to the people that needs it. This is something that I'm really passionate about to do. Yes. So I want to do more reps, for lack of a better term. I want to get the information out there, because I feel like we both have a wealth of information that we can give to people. And I think we'll be doing them a disservice if we didn't. So locking in on the podcast, locking in on, you know, my investment kind of training.
Yes.
And more so, you just said it. It's like me versus me. So I'm looking at the previous 6 months as well as the these 6 months, or the time going until 2026.
Yeah.
And I'm comparing and contrasting, trying to focus on self-development. That's why I even asked you about that. And just to kind of give you on that, and to wrap this up, I really want to say that I think that you do really, really well with like self-development questions, or questions around the mental space for people. I think that you got a wealth of information on that, and we definitely need to get more and pull more of that insight from
definitely.
You and give
like to
the
that,
people.
Because that, you can, you know, that is a never going space of development for me, right?
Yes.
Life experiences, but also, you know, really just assessing how I want to show up in different parts of my life. And
what about you? What are some things you want to lock in on?
I would say, honestly, brother, consistency as well, right? And ensuring, it's the idea for me, like, are you who you say or believe you are? And that's regardless of any, whether it's anything from a job to how you show up for your family or your friends, right? Or yourself. Am I who I say I am? And if I am, what does that person do differently than the old me? So ensure that I'm showing up for that future version of myself, right? And that's something where, again, I love that I realized that you don't have to be perfect to do a thing, because that, for me, it took a lot of the burden over making things look perfect or look pretty. Like, sometimes it's going to be ugly.
Yes. Yes.
You know, when I'm out there running and hiking and walking, and these southern allergies attack me, and my eyes puffy when I come in, I'm good, because that's part of it. You know, a little discomfort leads to growth. We know that. Growth and comfort cannot coexist. We know that. We've seen it posted everywhere. I have it on my phone. And I think for me, we got to chase that discomfort, you know, not be unsafe, right? Because you got to do what we got to do. But it's okay to get a little bit uncomfortable when it's leading you to your next level. And I think for me, it goes back to the idea of consistency, right? Am I the person that I say I am? When I'm by myself, am I the person that I say I am? And people are looking at you, in your time where you're actually by yourself, are you still the same person that you're presenting yourself to be? And if not, what can you do to get to that space?
Great insight.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's consistency. I think you and I are in tandem with that, brother. So consistency. I hold you accountable as you hold me accountable with it, you know?
Absolutely.
But I want to echo your sentiment really quickly about the podcast. I think there's a wealth of information that we both have, but also as you bring on guests, right, that are subject matter experts in their space, right? I'm happy we don't know everything. I'm happy. I'm happy you and I are not the summation of all knowledge in the world, because other folks will come in and give their information, get their game, so that I can assist not only us, but other people, right? It's not about us, it's about community in that way.
Yes.
And giving good information to people that are looking to develop the next phase in their life, right? So.
Yes. It's a top tier. That's a top.
Hey, you know, hey, you said it. I didn't say it, brother. You said it. But sincerely, I appreciate it. You know, I think that many times, like we talked about this before, it's the thing of everything happens when it's supposed to, but also the importance of being consistent, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got to where we got to by being consistent, regardless of when, if, whatever.
I agree.
And that's that. We're exactly where we're supposed to be at, and exact time that we're supposed to be here.
If someone shadowed you for a week straight, what would they say about you?
That I've become an obsessive person around a plan. I think for me, it went from a thing of, I want to do these things. So, okay, so how do I start enacting some of these practices into my life to get to that next level? Right. DOC, I'm somebody that I'm going to do some good work. I'm going to ensure that I get some cardio in. I'm going to ensure that, you know, I'm in the gym, also journaling. DOC, that sometimes I might be on my phone a little too long. You know, I might be doing scrolling a bit, but also getting better at that too, right? Ensuring that my days are more good than bad in that way, right? In terms of mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Attempt to create a structured mindset to protect and kind of callous from some of the ills of the world around building something new, right? So a lot of vulnerability and putting your art, whatever your art may be, out there in the world.
Yes.
And learning to become okay with it not being okay for everybody. It's going to be for who it's supposed to be for, and that's that.
I agree.
Now, if somebody was to take that same camera, right, and follow you around for a week, what would they see, Mr. Jones?
I would say, I'm going to start with where you started at, obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessed with self-development. I'm obsessed with just being productive. I think that they would say that I need to get me a social life. The same. I just feel as though they would probably say, hey, man, you need to, you know, I don't want to say they'll say I'm a bit hard on myself, but I am a workaholic on projects that I like. So if I'm like, you have to be excited about projects. So if I'm excited about the project, I'm like, if they get with me in a new week that it's a new project that I'm really excited about, they're going to say that I'm obsessed about this project, which is right. And essentially, they may tell me to take some leisure time for myself because they would say I have a life that's a whirlwind of things. And they probably would say, I don't know, how do you manage whatever or however you manage? You have a system in your head that's ready.
Yeah.
But I think that you probably should get yourself some type of a social life or a hobby as well.
I can. They would probably say it about me, too, because, again, being someone focused on whatever the thing is, right?
Yeah.
And at times that changes. Mm. But also the fact, one, where we all are more than one thing, right? Where my old coworker and my friend Sasha always said this, I'm like, we're multiple things from multiple people. And something that always stuck with me is, again, we're not just one thing.
Yeah.
And all those things deserve nurturing, right? So some of that social aspect, I'm leaning more to that myself. Like, you know, working to be more present. Now I keep saying more present, but like, showing up for your friends, right? And realizing that.
Yes. Nurturing those relationships.
You got to.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to lean into them when, you know, things are just bad. When things are good, you know, do the thing. So,
hobbies.
It's a process. It's hobbies, brother. Hobbies.
Hobbies. What
interests.
Things you
like to do. You know,
you have any?
I like doing stuff around the gym sometimes, brother. But, like, also, I love film. I originally, in part, moved to Atlanta due to want to pursue things within film industry. Right now, I'm looking to learn and get back into doing voiceover work, but also doing some things around just maybe writing something down the line. You know, just really getting to the creative aspect of like being able to create, regardless of what that is. Now that's why I like doing this podcast, being able to share information and give information that has helped me and hopefully can help somebody else. And, you know, conversations you and I have, you know, offline, right? Where many times, you know, you can start off with coworkers in that way, but also form the brotherhood. And one of the pillars of that is that self-development and creating an ecosystem of growth and holding each other to a standard.
Yes.
That, you know, we say we're going to do a thing, we're going to show up and do the thing versus, you know, we're going to let each other be lax. You know, we know we got life going on, but we always make sure we hold each other to that standard, which is always
important. That's good. Important. It's a good thing. It is important because you want to be with people like that. You want to be with like-minded people, and you want to be with people that has that same drive that you have, you know, to whereas, like you said, just holding each other accountable and, you know, sometimes you have to motivate one another. We may be full of motivation, but motivation comes from all areas. And sometimes, you know, you have to motivate your brother and vice versa.
Yep.
You know, not every day you're going to come in with your batteries on 100, but the key is that we're going to show up because we want to stay consistent and disciplined.
Man, that's how you end it, brother. For me, that's how you end it. You know,
that's
the idea. Motivation is great, but discipline is better.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. We have to stay consistent on the discipline mm-hmm. to make the changes.
That's it. Yeah, that's that. I think, you know, you spend enough time at the water cooler today. I think it's time. I'm supposed to get back to work, but I think that's
good talks.
Great talk, man. Great insight, and we'll see y'all back at the water cooler.
Peace.